This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rasmussen, a lot to cover today. Once again, tonight for Pittsburgh Public Schools could come to a vote in determining the future of 14 schools. Gene Walker, one of the board members, will join us in this hour to talk about, this process. A lot of people, the minute they hear school closings, if it's in your neighborhood, naturally, you have input and concerns. So we'll see what they are. Another story, international story. This story is going to blow up, Paul. You know this. The doctor that's being accused of trying to kill his wife on a hike and throw her off a cliff in Hawaii.
And the reason why this has gone national is obviously it's horrific, but even more disturbing is from around here.
Yeah, former UPMC employee and Pittsburgher, Dr. Gerhard Koenig, who is 46, his wife is 36, he's being accused of hitting her on the head with a rock and then attempting to push her off a hiking trail in Hawaii, and she is in critical condition at this moment, but apparently was able to tell police that it was her husband, and so he's being accused that it was arrested after a short chase. But it's one of those, can you say that this will be a 48 hours, one of those stories where they have just bizarre. So that's made international news. Apparently, anesthesiologist, an anesthesia doctor is how they describe it. He worked here for 9 years up until March of 2023. And the other story, I think a lot of people will be talking about, just because we got baseball starting tomorrow, Pirates in Miami for four games to start that set. But Russell Wilson going to the Giants.
Right. That eclipses the baseball story, doesn't it?
It does. In this town, the talk about the quarterback situation has dominated since the season ended, basically. Is like, well, what are the Steelers going to do? Is it going to be Russell Wilson? Is it going to be Fields? Who's it going to be? And then everybody waited, and some moves were made. Mason Rudolph coming back. But nobody signed like Aaron Rodgers. So I stopped next door, Adam Crawley, and asked Adam, I said, kind of, where are we now? With now, they got plenty to talk about again today with Russell Wilson signing a one-year deal with the Giants.
Well, it appears that it's Aaron Rodgers' show, right? It's either going to be Aaron Rodgers or Mason Rudolph. And Rodgers strikes me as a guy who doesn't like to waste his time, and that he came to Pittsburgh from the West Coast, probably took 10 hours on a plane each, not each way, but overall, and 6 hours at the Steelers facility. I think it's going to happen. But the timeline's weird here. Art Rooney II said in his end-of-season press conference he wanted Fields or Russell Wilson. Omar Khan said at the NFL Combine he wanted Fields or Wilson, and that he wanted it to be done before the start of the new league year. That was 3 weeks ago. So what does this tell me, Larry? This is Mike Tomlin's show. Mike Tomlin's getting what he wants, and what he wants is Mr. Aaron Rodgers.
Is there any chance Ben Roethlisberger's coming back out of retirement? They showed a picture of him at a golf outing. He's all slimmed up, ready to go.
He looks as good as he's ever looked. And he was on video a couple of weeks ago when the Steelers brought George Pickens in, and he looked svelte. Personally, I'd give that a shot before Rodgers. But either way, a 40-plus-year-old dude's playing quarterback this year, Larry.
Adam, thank you. Now you have plenty to talk about again.
Go Bucks!
And I've heard speculation, and this does make some sense to me when I listen to what Adam just had to say about Aaron Rodgers not liking to waste his time. There's a possibility that this deal's already in the bag, you know, and they're just waiting for something, and that something might be an announcement at Pat McAfee's big event that's coming up in, what is it, April?
Right, this sold out. I heard it sold out.
What, April 9th, is that
it? He's coming to Pittsburgh. Pat McAfee's a Plum native, a Plum Mustang, went on to an NFL kicking career with the Colts, and then started his broadcast career really as a podcaster. This is when he got noticed, and the reason he got noticed was because he developed a relationship with Aaron Rodgers.
And of course, as that relationship developed, Larry, Aaron Rodgers was receiving handsome remuneration for his appearances on Pat McAfee's program, and that is the reason why I think this might be in play. I think that not only is there some showmanship here and building up some tension or what have you, but there's also probably a paycheck in it for Aaron, and who could blame him for bringing the cash register an extra time on a new deal, right?
Yeah, if this works out, it's... So, Pat McAfee's show is coming to PPG Paints Arena, by the way.
Yeah, it's sold out,
deal.
My goodness.
April 9th, it says it's sold out. High-demand event. And in the midst of that, is it possible they could reveal Aaron Rodgers? At this point, you're only waiting a couple of weeks, right? We're looking at April next week.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday is April 1st.
It's either one of the two, Larry. It's either in the bag and Rodgers has decided this is what he's going to do, or it's the other thing. He hasn't decided or isn't going to, and now the Steelers are looking at drafting a quarterback, I guess. There's still some other guys that are out there. If they don't land Rodgers, that certainly would make Mason Rudolph a starter, wouldn't you think?
Yes.
And I, to be honest, would not be disappointed if that were the situation.
Yeah, we talked to Bill Hillgrove about that last week. He said, I'd be okay with that.
I heard what Bill said. So, it made perfect sense.
All right, the plot thickens. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We'll keep you posted of breaking news, weather information, and whatever's going on, we got you covered. I talked to some people on the road, Paul, that live, or at least part of the year, in the Bradenton area, and a lot of them use the app. They said they like to keep up to date with what's going on in Pittsburgh. So it makes them feel like home.
I use it in the car, and I use it at home on my smart TV as well.
I use it on my dumb TV, and it still works. All right, road rage. We've all heard of road rage. Seems like road rage has ramped up, and you are not wrong, over the last few years. Have you noticed more and more aggressive drivers speeding, tailgating, weaving in and out of lanes? Aggressive driving.
Yes, and that's
extreme.
I'm trying to do my part to help calm things down. I'm trying to not engage and stay back. And heck, I was taken to pulling over if somebody's tailgating me. I'll just pull over and let them go by. What the heck?
Right.
No big deal.
My dad used to say that. Now, with four sons, he would tell us, oh, when you're out there, it's not personal. Don't take it personal. They don't know who you are. They're just, you know, just remain calm. And the first guy to cut him off, he's screaming, "Yips!"
Yep.
And we all looked at him like,
But that's the battle, right?
Busted, right.
And
you
used to be able to get away with, you know, little reactions here and there. Now people's brains are half unscrewed.
You could look at somebody the wrong way and have them pull out a gun. There's the problem.
There's the danger, and we've seen that happen, unfortunately, when it gets to that, and it happens more than people think, where aggressive drivers actually attack each other. Well, apparently humans aren't the only species that gets road rage. A new study finds that birds feel it too. Researchers have studied yellow warblers, and the yellow ones that near live roads become more aggressive when they hear traffic noise.
What?
Who would study that?
Exactly.
Come on, man. The birds that lived further away from the roads weren't quite as angry. Experts believe it's because traffic noise affects the warblers' ability to call each other. So,
you know, I believe this.
This would be warbler interruptus.
It's a new low.
If you want to get technical.
Those trucks.
You can now live out your dream of moving to Pawnee and get $50,000 to do it. Not the fictional Pawnee, Indiana, like in Parks and Recreation in the show, but the real Pawnee City, Nebraska. They're trying to get people to move there. So they build a bunch of new houses. They're offering $50,000 down payments and assistance to help people get into a home and move to Pawnee, Nebraska.
Say that again. How much?
$50,000.
Now, think about this for a minute. And who is this offered to? Just anybody that would move in?
If you move to Pawnee City, Nebraska, they will offer you a new house, a $50,000 down payment on it.
Now, think about this for a minute. If you're about to retire and you're looking for a nice, quiet, rural community to base your life out of, why would you not consider this?
Right.
And what would the average property value in Pawnee be?
That's like the free college tuition Harvard's offering for families that make less than $200,000.
Yeah.
And WJ here has got some kind
right.
of
That's unbelievable.
Tuition offer. Yeah, but to move somewhere, I've seen on social media little towns in Italy where they say that they'll basically give you a house if you move there, but you have to fix it up. You know, your house is 500 years old. It might need some work.
Now, as I recall, West Virginia in the past has been offering people money to move into the Mountaineer State. There's been a small financial incentive, not like the $50,000, but...
Wow.
And they've seen a huge decline in population. So they're hoping for a rebound by trying to entice people to move in. What's in Pawnee City, Nebraska, do you know, Paul?
Let me see where it's at.
Have you ever been to Nebraska?
Yes, I have. And I'll tell you, I drove through the state. I went from over in Council Bluffs in Iowa into Omaha and then on the interstate through Lincoln. And that's where the University of Nebraska is located. And I have to say that everything in Lincoln that isn't painted red or white is like out of the ordinary. I mean, everything's big red something in Lincoln for the Cornhuskers. Pawnee City says here on their webpage, it says, combine small town values with a determination to grow, improve, and innovate. It's kind of cool. Mm. Let's see where they're at. What the map says here. Pawnee City. Where are you, Pawnee City? Okay. Well, Pawnee City's in the prairie, that's for sure. It's south of Lincoln and Omaha, and not that far away from Kansas City. Yeah, that's really an interesting location, and it appears to be in an area where it's well-irrigated and green.
Well, God bless you.
Because Western Nebraska can get pretty inhospitable, let me tell you. Like brush out there, scrub brush.
When I was in Oklahoma at a Pitt game, actually Mason Rudolph was playing for the other team.
Well, for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Was that in Stillwater?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am not exaggerating. We went into the broadcast booth, and there were grasshoppers like 5 inches long. Giant. And they were stuck all over the place, all over the walls and everything.
Stuck?
I mean, they were looking at you. Bug eyes and everything. Like, get out.
Get out of our place.
Where'd Larry go? He moved to Pawnee City, Nebraska.
Took that incentive and ran.
He was eaten by locusts. This is the Big K Morning Show. We welcome you, and we welcome Gene Walker, who is a school board member, Pittsburgh Public Schools. You can see Gene on the radio on our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Gene, good morning. Good to see you.
Good morning, Larry. Good to see you again, too.
So tonight could be a very important night. Is there going to be a vote after you've had public conversations about the potential closing of 14 schools?
Yeah, that's a good question, Larry. You know, the short answer is I don't know. I think, you know, the board is divided a bit on what to do. And obviously with the amount of public comment that we heard on Monday, that generally causes us to take a step and kind of reevaluate. So I think there'll be some discussion later tonight, you know, either before the meeting or during the meeting to determine if we need to take a pause or keep going.
What were some of the takeaways for you from that meeting Monday night?
I mean, I think the biggest takeaway is that people are still, you know, very concerned about what the future looks like. And it, you know, it appears that we haven't done a great job of helping them visualize that. And that's really our job, is to help them be able to see what the future of the education will look like for their kids. And if we haven't done that, then we need to do a little bit better.
And it's pretty clear when you lose population and you have less and less students that at one point, you know, when Pittsburgh Public Schools were at their largest enrollment and you're no longer there, changes have to be made unless it's in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, I think for the most part, you know, the community understands that. And I think, like I mentioned Monday at the end of the meeting, I think we all have the same, you know, destination in mind, which is high quality education for our kids. And where we're disconnected right now is the road to take to get there. And so we just have a little bit more work to do to make sure that we're all in lockstep with what needs to get done, and then helping those folks in the neighborhoods where they're going to be affected the most realize and understand how this is going to be better for their kids.
We're with Gene Walker, Pittsburgh Public School Board member. That said, if you don't vote tonight, when would be the next opportunity to do so that people know then the fate? And once you do vote, is that it? Or is there an appeal process? How long can this go on?
I'll start at this can go on for as long as necessary to make sure that we get it right. If there's not a vote tonight, it really depends on why. You know, so if we decide we're just going to pull the agenda item, then we could bring it up as early as next month. If we do some other procedural votes that make it come off the agenda, it could be a little bit longer. You know, I don't know. I think part of it will depend on how soon and how quickly we can get some of the critical information that folks say they need, like the demographer information, some finances, an outline of transportation and timeline. If I was going to put a guess on it, I would say, you know, we're another, you know, 30 to 90 days away from a vote. And then once this vote happens, it is not the end. This vote is really a procedural vote to open a comment period for folks to then talk about their particular building. And the law says we have to have that hearing and then wait 3 months before we take action. So we still have a ways to go, but I think we're inching closer.
I think cut to the chase is no schools are going to be closed next year, it doesn't look like.
And no schools will be closed in the 26-27 school. No schools will be closed this fall, and the earliest would be 26-27.
Okay.
But for sure, this next school year coming up in the fall, everything will be working the way that it is today.
All right. Before you go, have you spoken, and I'm sure it's come up in board meetings, about the impact of federal funding or the dismantling of the education department? How will that affect the largest school district in our region, Pittsburgh Public Schools?
Yeah, we have discussed that, and it is a scary thing to think about, because the money that we get from the federal government is substantial. It's about $57 million. We don't know what the impact is, and so we're really trying to evaluate with the help of, you know, the State Department of Education, and, you know, all kinds of folks, other school districts who are dealing with this. You know, the reality is if federal funding goes away, I think all public school districts are in trouble, because there's just not a way to make up that funding and that support. But ultimately what we're trying to do is figure out how do we serve our kids and protect our most vulnerable kids the best we can, regardless of what the federal government does. So there's still lots to figure out. And our hope is that, you know, softer and, you know, more reasonable minds come to the front and realize that you know, our kids are the future. And if we don't do right by them now, we'll suffer the consequences later.
Gene, always appreciate your time and input. Thank you. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Pittsburgh Public School Board member Gene Walker on the Big
Persky and White News Desk. First up, the doctor arrested after attempting to kill his wife on an Oahu hiking trail. Boy, what a story.
Well, this is,
what do you say about this?
Gone viral around the world because, primarily, I'm sure, because he's a doctor. Anesthesia doctor is how they describe this Gerhard Koenig.
Yeah, he was a UPMC doctor at one point and also an assistant professor at Pitt. But he was arrested Monday, apparently tried to kill his wife, according to what police say. They were on a hiking trail, and he attempted to push her off, struck her in the head with the rock. They say that they treated this 36-year-old lady for head and facial injuries after she was assaulted, and then they arrested Koenig not long after that, after a brief foot pursuit, they're saying, in this one story on CNN. 6-hour manhunt was involved to find him. Number two on our list is Democrat Dan Gaugenauer. He won Tuesday's special election, Larry, and Democrats, as a result, will now have a one-seat House majority in Harrisburg.
And a former McKeesport police officer and a board member in the area, he also was the head of their detective unit. And so this is critical because this seat vacated when the untimely death of Matthew Gergely took place in the 35th district.
Yeah, it's out in the Mon Valley, and who'd have thunk it that a low turnout special election would wind up determining control of the state house. Although I think that anyone, you know, would look at the voter registration totals out in that area in the 35th district and see the kind of advantage that the Democrats had, you would assume it would be a Democratic victory, and that's how it wound up. Hey, Russell Wilson is going to New York. He's going to reportedly play for the Giants, who also recently signed Jameis Winston.
Which slims the choices for the Steelers. There is still talk that it could be Aaron Rodgers, but it might not.
And then Pirates starter Jared Jones, Larry, is sidelined. This is not the kind of news you want to hear going into the season. He has a sore elbow, won't be throwing for, 6 weeks?
But at least he won't need surgery, and it was determined there was no ligament damage associated with that soreness. So
the Bucs are going on the field for the first day of the regular season, which is tomorrow in Miami. They'll be going without the person that they signed to be their first baseman, or at least someone who was expected to compete for the job of first baseman, and now they're also going to be proceeding without one of their starting pitchers. Fortunately, they've got a lot of pitching depth.
And that's what people are talking about from the Big K Morning Show. Good morning, Larry Richard, with our weekly guest in our 7 o'clock hour, the Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, Rich Fitzgerald, who joins us from Bradenton, Florida, this morning, where I saw Rich over the weekend and enjoyed a Pirates game. The last spring training game at Leacom was Saturday. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. We have spring here in Bradenton, but I see the weather report coming back this afternoon, and I thought we were supposed to have spring in Pittsburgh. What happened?
Well, the good news is if you wait a couple of days, Saturday it'll be 76, so it's coming. We have snow, actually, just to the north of the city this morning, so you're missing that part. But it is going to be chilly for you and your wife, Kathy, on your arrival back. That said, I love the relationship our city has with Bradenton, and I want to thank Executive Director of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Elliot Falcioni, for being the huge part of making that happen, along with you back in the day, too.
Well, we did, and we have a sister city relationship with Bradenton and Pittsburgh, and yes, there's obviously been a great connection between the two cities, with the Pirates, you know, having trained here for decades, and so many Pittsburghers coming down for, you know, February, March for spring training. And they're actually going to be, had a nice visit yesterday with the Kiwanis Club, you know, a couple hundred people, comparing notes between the two cities and the two regions and how they do things. And they're actually making a trip in June, bringing their convention into Pittsburgh. So they will be spending some money going to the convention center and seeing the beautiful city that we have in the summer months.
Well, we have a lot of ground to cover this morning. But before we move on, I just want to say, seeing the Moody Blues, John Lodge, the last surviving member, and his world-class musicians on Anna Maria Island Monday night, that was a spectacular show. And I noticed your wife was enjoying it, too. Even you, I saw your toe tapping a few times.
Very much so. And John Lodge, and you know, we had heard that he had had a stroke a while back, and I didn't know what to expect, but he was recovered. He was energetic. He was moving around and doing well. And it was also good to see Clint Hurdle and his wife, Carla, who have settled in Bradenton, you know, the event that they had. And obviously what Clint did for a decade, the energy and the fun that he brought to the baseball season. As we turn the page and begin baseball season tomorrow, opening day in Miami for the Pirates, and then, of course, next week, the New York Yankees for opening day next Friday. Should be fun.
And by the way, Clint Hurdle will be a guest down the road when he gets back to the Berg. He's coming in a month or so. He has a new book called Hurdleisms, and he did a tremendous job with his wife, Carla, raising much-needed funds for the Prader-Willi Syndrome Foundation. His daughter, Maddie, is somebody he's championed, and she's a delightful young lady, and wish him all the best and bringing a focus to what that's all about. All right, Rich, we have... by the way, I sat literally across the aisle and Southwest coming back yesterday. Former United States Congressman Mike Doyle, who's working with K&L Gates now. And it was good to see him. And I told him, I said, we were talking about the airport, and he's so fired up himself about the new airport.
Well, Mike had such a big part of so much of the funding over the years is his impact in this region. And, you know, it's one of the things I think we're going to talk about a little bit later is the NIH funding. You know, Mike was so impactful in bringing all of those federal dollars to the University of Pittsburgh, Carnegie Mellon University with robotics, life sciences. And, you know, we see the story in the paper today that they've cut a couple of more programs. And that the impact in southwestern Pennsylvania on that and that funding will be huge.
It is significant. And each and every day, everybody trying to follow along and figure out what the impact will be, especially locally, when you look at the dismantling of the Department of Education at the federal level. How will that impact private and public schools here and all of the different disciplines? And every day there's something new to analyze. And as someone who had to put a budget together, that's going to be really challenging for a lot of people.
It really is. And you know, County Executive Ina Marotta, you know, giving her quarterly address to council last night, you know, really touched on so many parts of it that will affect Allegheny County, which will affect all the counties in southwestern Pennsylvania throughout the Commonwealth, around housing, around transportation, around the roads and bridges projects that we had planned on all having done here in this region. And even yesterday, what you all did at the station regarding the food banks, raising money for food banks, and the governor being very, very vocal, Governor Shapiro, critical of the administration in cutting back food banks across the state. So there's stay tuned. There's a lot happening on a daily basis, as you said.
And that said, we want to thank our title sponsor, Giant Eagle, and all our partners and everybody that donated yesterday. Nearly 260,000 meals because of the generosity of people in our region. And coming up, Rich, I understand since opening day is approaching, we have a connection here with somebody that you know very well.
We have a special guest, and we will talk about it in a minute, but there is a family that has been serving Pirate baseball since 1925, over a century. We'll hear from her, a family member, the last remaining family member who's doing that after the break.
Coming up on the Big K Morning Show with Rich Fitzgerald. Ball is about to begin for your Pittsburgh Pirates tomorrow at 4:10 in Miami against the Marlins, then home a week from Friday against the New York Yankees. And we continue our conversation with Rich Fitzgerald. And Rich, you have a special guest that relates directly to Pirates baseball.
Well, let me set this up, Larry, because I'll go back a century. In 1925, my grandfather, Howard Mangold, 17-year-old Howard Mangold, and his 16-year-old brother, Herb, my Uncle Herbie, began ushering at Forbes Field. And since that day, for the last 100 years, there have been Mangolds, cousins, uncles, second cousins who have been ushering for the Pittsburgh Pirates at Forbes Field, at Three River Stadium, and at PNC Park. And joining us now is my cousin, the last remaining Mangold, Donna Mangold. If you go to a Pirate game and you have a seat behind the third base dugout, you will see Donna for the last 25 years, who has been taking you to your seat, showing you your seat, wiping off your chair, and helping you out in every way. Donna, welcome to be with us today, and congratulations on a century of service to the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Oh, well, good morning, Rich. Good morning, Larry. It's so kind of you to give me this opportunity to chat about this. It's always been so much fun doing this.
And your 25th anniversary, too, which is pretty special. And Donna, over the years, I've met some incredible ushers that have a longevity. And I know fairly recently we lost a gentleman, I'm sure you remember, Mr. Coyne.
Phil was the best.
He ushered into his 90s.
Yes, he did.
He had
this ritual, I think. He would always have a couple Oreos and a glass of milk before going to bed. But Phil was such a class act. He was like one of my idols.
And you did, Larry. You had so many of the people, especially from South Oakland, where obviously your wife's family's from. So many of those folks who would walk over to Forbes Field during the era of that ballpark. And to this day, the legacy remains. Many of them moved over to Three River Stadium and then, of course, on to PNC Park. Famously, Eugene DePasquale, Jeep DePasquale, the former city councilman, was the head of the Ushers Union. His grandson, of course, became Auditor General. So there's a lot of history of people who have served over the years. And Donna's father and all her uncles and cousins have done it for many, many years. You were probably seated by one of the Mangold family, the Bloomfield group, as they were known back in the day. And Donna is well-liked and well-respected as for the work that she does. Donna, who are some of the famous people and some of the characters you may have come across in your quarter century serving the Pirates?
Okay. Well, celebrities include, Michael Keaton, Paul Simon, and David Conrad, who was in Ghost Whisperer. And he's actually, from Pittsburgh, too. Well, so was Michael Keaton. but those three pretty much, stand out. But a lot of really, really fun and so kind people, sit in the section who are real baseball fans, too.
And Donna, there's always a connection. I always joke you're a half person from everyone. So David Conrad, who was, as you said, a movie and television actor, his great-grandfather was Dr. Frank Conrad, who worked at Westinghouse Electric, who founded KDK Radio.
Okay. Interesting. That's right. I remember you saying that. Very good.
Those connections, as you say, Larry, go on and on. And Michael Keaton, obviously famous actor out of Montour High School, McKees Rocks, very famous baseball fan. Loved. He does tell the story where he was during the Mazeroski home run as a young boy and enjoying that. And you're right. You see so many Pittsburghers who maybe have left, but Pittsburgh never left them, and they love to come back, go to a Pirate game. And people like Donna and her family take good care of them.
And Donna, this is a big, big game coming up for the home opener next Friday because the Yankees draw anyway, right? But to have it as the home opener, many people are saying, put them down the road when, everybody's going to show up for the home opener. But it's going to be a huge weekend, right?
Oh, it will be great. All I want it to be is dry. just no precipitation. It can be chilly, but just be dry. But, the Yankees are are a draw, and it makes it extra special too.
But if it's not dry, the people that will take care of and making sure that your chair is dry will be Donna and her colleagues running up and down with their rags, making sure that people have a comfortable place to sit and enjoy the game.
Yeah, that's true. We try to take care of everybody as best we can. You got that right.
Well, Donna, congratulations and thank you. We'll see you at PNC Park.
Okay, well, thank you so very, very much for the opportunity, and we'll see you April 4th.
See you at the game, Donna. Thanks for all the great work. Good job.
Thank you much.
I didn't know your family was directly related to all these great ushers for 100 years, Rich. That's pretty cool.
Well, and I actually did a little bit of that myself back in my high school and college days, as my grandfather would take me over to the games, and great memories. As you know, we all know the memories of baseball connecting to fathers and grandfathers, and you know, those memories of my grandfather taking me to Forbes Field and taking me to Three Rivers are things that you know, you cherish. That's for sure.
Coming up, more with Rich Fitzgerald. We're going to talk about Isleys, a new Isleys, yes, and Real ID. The deadline is low. This is the Big K Morning Show, and we continue our conversation with the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, which is encompassing 10 counties in the city of Pittsburgh, Rich Fitzgerald, who is going to make his way back from Bradenton, Florida, bringing back the Bucks. Rich, the deadline looms for Real ID, and when I first read about this, what was the genesis, I realized this actually started after 9/11. So it's almost a quarter of a century till we bring it to, and they had kicked this down the road during COVID, as you know, several years, several times, but they say May 7th, this is it. You got to have Real ID if you want to fly domestically in the United States, right?
That's exactly right, and that's the, I think, the impetus for a lot of people to make sure that they get it by the May 7th deadline. I know Senator Costa has been talking about this and is holding the sessions, webinar sessions, and what you need to do. And there is a list, I think it's in today's Post-Gazette or Tribune Review, showing the various PennDOT locations where you can go. And if you go online with the PennDOT website, it'll tell you what you need to bring to get the Real ID. And that's the ID you will need if you want to get on an airplane. And you're right, it goes back a quarter century to 9/11 and domestic security.
And that list to prove your identity includes Social Security number, two proofs of current Pennsylvania address, proof of any legal name change if you were married and changed your name or otherwise, and acceptable documents are original or certified copy of a birth certificate with a raised embossed seal, a valid unexpired U.S. passport or passport card, and it goes on and on and on. And so, yeah, take the time, if you're going to drive to one of these centers, know what you need to bring to save you the aggravation, because if you're going to go through the process, you're going to need this.
Yeah, you're going to want to do it right. That's exactly right. Some of the what you just listed, make sure you have that, or you can go get it. Some people have to go to their courthouse, depending on which county they live, to get some of those documents like a birth certificate, a marriage certificate with name change, those type of things. And also give yourself some time when you go to the PennDOT locations. We are seeing reports of lines as people go, and it does take some time. It's not just a very quick, easy thing. And like you said, if you don't have that documentation, you're going to have to go back, and it'll be frustrating. But if you want to fly, domestically or internationally, you're going to need that Real ID.
And to get into certain federal buildings in the future. So look into that. Now, meanwhile, Rich, you and I were talking about the impact of funding cuts. And you mentioned this NIH. Please explain what that is and why it's so important, particularly here in Pittsburgh.
Sorry to use the acronym, and I do that at times. The National Institute of Health, which is a federal agency, has, you know, decides to fund a lot of research around medical issues, biological issues,
And the University of Pittsburgh has probably become one of the largest in the country as far as prominence and the amount of funding that comes for research. I mean, we know in Pittsburgh, going back to the Jonas Salk vaccine in the 50s, the polio vaccine, and then on a few decades later to Dr. Starzl and things that were done around transplantation. But the University of Pittsburgh's medical school and the UPMC footprint has become such an important national prominent place. Our McGee Women's Research Institute, the McGee Women's Hospital arm, is the largest women's health research center in the country. So Pittsburgh, we all know about the EDS and MEDS, but those EDS and MEDS in large part come from the federal funding that people like Congressman Doyle and going back to Congressman Murtha were able to bring to Pittsburgh and grow the prominence of what we've all come to know is the EDS and MEDS here in Pittsburgh.
So it's absolutely critical, and we'll continue to follow the story of the cuts and how they're dealing with it. But as you know, Rich, there's even at the university level a hiring freeze right now until they determine economically where they are and where they're going to be.
That's exactly right, and that's they've had to do that with the uncertainty, and I think you've seen that in a lot of areas of the federal government as the changes are coming about. As I said earlier, the county executive in her address last night indicated around housing, around transportation, around workforce, and the things that they're trying to work on. Health departments have been cut. We're seeing those cuts come across the country as well as the quote-unquote COVID crisis, as the federal government has said, oh, it's over. We don't have to do vaccine funding anymore. So some of these things are obviously going to be very controversial, and we'll have a lot of congressional work that'll be done, and we'll see where it goes.
Isley's coming back after a great history and iconic. I think at one point they had 100 locations, believe it or not, but a new Isley's in the Strip.
Well, everything old is new again, and so many of us have such fond memories of Isley's and probably going there to get that skyscraper cone with your grandmother or your grandfather or the Klondike or the Chip Chop Dam, et cetera. So in the Strip District, which so many people love to go for the great food along the Penn Avenue and Smallman Street corridors, I'm going to be adding to it with Isley's coming back. Jim Conroy has decided, I guess, bought a building and is working out the details and going to be opening up in the coming months an Isley's. So for another generation, they'll be able to celebrate some of those great, iconic Isley brand foods.
And we're going to talk to Jim Conroy in our 9 o'clock hour. And when we come back, did you check your brackets for March Madness? And I want to get an update on some road projects. We're with Rich Fitzgerald on the Big K Morning Show.
From the Goldberg, Persky & White news desk, Larry, a doctor was arrested, accused of trying to kill his wife on a hiking trail in Hawaii.
And the connection here, a former UPMC doctor and professor at Pitt, who left in March of 2023. This is an international story.
Yeah, his name is Gerhard Koenig. He went to Hawaii to continue his work in anesthesiology. And I guess at Pitt, he was an assistant professor in that field as well. So it's been a while since he's been here. But his wife at the hospital told police that he tried to push her off this hiking trail at a lookout and then hit her in the head with a rock. A couple of reports I've seen said that there was a disagreement about taking a picture, but I'm not sure about that. Okay, number two, the Democrat in the race for the 35th House seat in Harrisburg, Dan Gaggenauer, won Tuesday's special election, and that means Democrats are going to have a one-seat House majority.
The former McKeesport police officer spent 16 years, including being the head of the detective unit there, and also served locally on some boards. He is the difference in Harrisburg in the House.
And Russell Wilson is heading to New York. That's according to reports. A deal worth, what is it, like $21 million for 1 year?
Yeah, for him, that's That's just chump change.
Yeah, and then the Pirates starter, Jared Jones, has a sore elbow. He will not be throwing for 6 weeks.
But the Pirates will start the season tomorrow in Miami, 4:10 first pitch against the Marlins. And that's what folks are talking about. Hour with Rich Fitzgerald, the executive director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, and looking forward to spring and baseball is getting underway tomorrow, as we mentioned. So, Rich, before you go, I did want to ask you about you and the commission deal with a lot of future road projects. So what's the update?
Well, we're like everybody else, the county commissioners who are, you know, anxiously waiting to see these projects go forward over the next couple of years in their districts and in their counties, just waiting to see, like so many others. We talked about NIH funding before, food bank. The governor's been very, very vocal, Governor Shapiro, in some of the things that he sees coming down the line. So like everybody else, it's a wait and see. And I have a feeling you're going to see some real battles in the halls of Congress with the Senate and the House as they battle over making sure that a lot of this funding gets supported. And some of it might want to be, you know, pulled back by the administration. And some of this may end up in court, all the way in the Supreme Court, to see who ultimately has the authority to authorize this work that we all need to have done.
And finally, March Madness. Are you a bracket filler-outer?
I am. And, you know, it's obviously changed over the years. And, you know, we used to get the newspaper report and offices around the country would be copying them. And now we do it all online. But I thought it was interesting. I'll start with the women's. The top three seeds in every single region, all 12 of them advanced. So there were no upsets among the top three. They all advanced to the Sweet 16. On the men's, it was almost just the same. The only one or two seed that got knocked off was St. John's, knocked off by one of Pittsburgh's own, John Calipari, in Arkansas. But 21 of the 24 top three seeds in both men's and women's have advanced to the Sweet 16. So I assume that means people who picked conservatively, their brackets probably look pretty good at this point.
And another weekend of March Madness. And again, Pirates baseball tomorrow, opening day. And Rich, safe travels for you and Kathy back from Bradenton. And we'll see you in studio next week.
Looking forward to it, Larry. It was good being in Bradenton. Good seeing the Pirates. And yes. Spring is coming. Here we are.
Let's go. Good morning. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Not a day goes by, maybe not an hour, where you don't hear about weight loss. We just heard it. In fact, revolutionary breakthroughs are always talked about, but more recently, there is something that a lot of people have been asking about, interested in, and taking, these GLP-1s. And joining us is a very special guest from the Obesity Medicine Association, the largest organization of physicians, nurse practitioners, assistants, and other healthcare providers working to improve the lives of patients affected by obesity. And with us is current past president, Angela Fitch. Doctor, I appreciate your time this morning. Good morning.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
So the first question is, how do we define obesity in this country?
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, obesity as a definition is a disease in which excess body fat has had an adverse effect on your health. So again, it's not just about a BMI or a number on the scale. It's really about having excess body fat that is affecting your health in a dysfunctional way.
And the breakthrough most recently, and everybody's heard about it, have been these GLP-1s. Can you explain for us laymen what exactly they are and how did we discover these?
Yeah, so GLP-1 stands for glucagon-like peptide 1. It is a hormone that you already have in your body that has regulated our appetite. I tell patients it's like, you know, when you potentially overeat at a meal, like, say, Thanksgiving, and you have that extra little piece of pie at the end, and then you go over and you sit down to watch the TV, And you 20 minutes later, you feel so full, you feel like you might be sick. But, you know, 20 minutes ago, you kind of could fit that pie in there. Well, that's because your GLP-1, your own GLP-1, kicked in and made you feel too full, and you sort of ate past that level of fullness. Well, these medications actually give us extra of this GLP-1 that makes us feel more full kind of consistently. So we're able to live into our healthy habits more easily because we're able to feel full more often.
Dr. Fitch, I'm curious to know, do people who are going to be taking this drug, do they have a resistance to GLP-1 and this is replacing that, or is this just a boost in the hormone?
No, that's a great question. This is just a boost in the hormone, meaning, you know, we're giving people, you know, super therapeutic levels or, you know, extra high levels of this hormone that you don't have in your body. It turns out, you know, in our bodies, this hormone only lasts for a few minutes, a few seconds even, you know, as we're feeling full. So taking it by an injection once a week nowadays is how it's delivered, you know, allows it to get into your body at higher levels so you can maintain that fullness more consistently.
And therein lies where a lot of people have questions, doctor, as you know, injecting, who's paying for this? So if a doctor prescribes this, we assume there is a payment. Otherwise, if people want to just lose weight, they're trying to acquire it. And then it starts to get into a gray area of compounding. So can you kind of walk us through that process?
Yeah, well, what happened was, you know, these medications, as you asked earlier, you know, have actually been around for 20 years. These are not really new medications, but they've gotten much better over the past 20 years. So science has advanced to the point where, you know, they've gotten much better as it relates to affecting our weight or our obesity treatment. And so, again, because of this, you know, so much better efficacy today, it has been something that people have desired, you know, because it's so challenging to lose weight and keep it off. It's biologically, it's not a normal process to lose weight and keep it off. And so because there was such a demand for this really revolutionary treatment that's out there, and there's 140 million Americans in the country that qualify for this treatment, there was a shortage. And because of a shortage, it allowed for compounders to make the product. But unfortunately, this compounding has been filling a need, not so much in the shortage situation, but in the cost and access situation, because unfortunately, obesity is not a standard benefit on your insurance. And so because it's not a standard benefit on our insurance, it means that we don't have to have coverage for that disease state. And because of that, it leads people to, unfortunately, sometimes seek out these substandard versions of the medication.
Doctor, are there patients for whom GLP-1s are not recommended? What person who's listening would say to their doctor, I'd like to try this, and then the doctor would advise against it?
Well, certainly if you don't have obesity or excess weight to lose, right? Meaning, you know, this is something where it's really a disease treatment for, you know, an excessive adiposity state or excessive, you know, level of body fat. We're not talking about, you know, just wanting to lose a few pounds, you know, for the cultural desire for thinness, which is really a separate issue. And so again, you know, if you truly have issues with excess adiposity that's leading to adverse effect on your health, then that's something that we would recommend treatment. The only true contraindication is if you have a personal or family history of something called medullary thyroid carcinoma, which is a type of thyroid cancer that is quite rare. But if you have that, or if your family member has that, that is a contraindication to taking these medications.
And finally, doctor, side effects. What are the realities from a real physician instead of your neighbor just telling you anecdotally? What are your concerns with side effects to these GLP-1s?
Well, the side effects are mostly gastrointestinal, so nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, constipation, sometimes abdominal pains, you know, due to those things, right? But they're actually, you know, less common than you would think, meaning about 20% of patients will have one of those types of side effects. But for the most part, they can be manageable. You know, we can manage things like nausea with other treatments, other medications, other ways of eating, and we can manage constipation, diarrhea, these types of side effects. So as long as you're working with a clinician who can help you through that, it should be somebody that helps you, that you can reach, you can get a hold of, you know, not getting these things, you know, online, you know, by filling out a form, et cetera.
Great information, and appreciate your time this morning, Doctor. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Angela Finch, current past president of the Obesity Medicine Association. And a lot of people have questions, Paul, as you know, about all this stuff. It's in the constantly, at least in social media, talked about.
And, you know, Larry, the other thing that we can't touch on right now, because probably not with the doctor, but how did we get here? I know that the new health secretary is raising that question. What is it that's behind the obesity surge in the United States? Is there something that we don't know yet?
Well, that's actually a great question. We'll see.
Yeah, baby.
Tamara Rush is in studio. What's trending
I'm
with
T? I'm here.
Tea?
Oh, God. I mean, where can I start? It's been going on all night, all morning. This whole thing with, of course, Representative Jasmine Crockett.
Who seems to be a lightning rod.
Yeah, she's had her run-ins with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's had her run-ins with Pam Bondi. She is on fire, literally.
I would pay for a steel cage death match between those two.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome. So what's going on now is the representative was at a human rights campaign dinner this past Saturday, and she had some choice words for the governor of Texas, and this is what she had to say.
Y'all know we got Governor Hot Wheels down there. Come on now. And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot mess, honey. So yes.
So that sparked this whole rage of words.
You have to explain why the Hot Wheels resonated so much.
Of course. So the governor is in a wheelchair, so people did not take that lightly. They thought it was offensive, and people are on social media going back and forth about it. So what then happened, it sparked this whole bringing back when President Trump was campaigning, and he made this comment.
Written by a nice reporter. Now the poor guy, you got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember. Maybe that's what I said. This is 14 years ago. They didn't do a retraction.
So we're here. So it's.
And for
it's,
those that don't know, the video portion would show that the gentleman was
disabled.
Yes.
A reporter, yes. And he made comments about that. And it was something that was going on before he, of course, was president. So that's one of the hot topics that's going around. It is on fire. And then we make the transition to the portrait. There's a portrait of President Trump that he's not happy with. It's a portrait in Colorado. And he feels as though this is not an accurate picture of depicting him and how he looks. So he went off on social media. I mean, literally saying that it was intentionally done and President Obama's portrait looks much better.
And where is this displayed?
in the Colorado courts. So he is literally on fire. He said, nobody likes a bad picture or painting of themselves, but the one in Colorado in the state capitol put up by the governor along with all other presidents was purposefully distorted to a level that even I perhaps have never seen before. The artist also did President Obama, and he looks wonderful.
Let me see that picture. Is that him?
This is him.
It's not that bad. What's he talking about?
It has to be, if not better, than President Obama. It has to be close, and I don't feel as though he thinks this is close. But he is, it's on fire this morning. I've been following this whole thing with Representative Jasmine Crockett, and it is out of control. But this is what social media is all about. Trending with T, it's for you to decide.
Tamara Rush, thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe he'll change the name of Colorado.
Oh, God.
If they don't do something.
He's coming.
To change that portrait. All right, T, thank you.
You're welcome.
Coming up this morning, in the next hour, right off the top, we've got the new Isley owner. I mean, he and his wife have owned this. Really interesting how they acquired this very iconic brand and how they're going to put a new Isley's in the Strip District. The Strip District is the hottest place in the city right now in terms of the money that's been poured into it, the activity that they're getting, the people they're attracting to come. It is really the hot spot. And so now they're going to add Isley's. So Smallman Street, you have the old terminal building, which they redid and is pretty much built out at this point. And it's all new businesses. Some are franchises that you're familiar with. And then as you go a block over on Penn Avenue, it still maintains the eclectic businesses, the families that have been here for, in some cases, a century or more. And we're talking about Sinceri's. Aaron, when's the last time you have been in the Strip District?
It's been a while, actually. When I lived downtown, I went to the Strip District like every other weekend. But it has been a few semesters, as you'd like to say.
Well, it is the hot spot. And guess what? Isley's
is on their way.
Like Rich Fitzgerald and I talked about, what's new is what's old.
Right. That's so true.
Pittsburghers love that.
Yes.
So we'll tell you where Isley's are going to be and talk to the owner coming up top of the next half hour. This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Carlos T. Carter, the president, CEO of the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh. We check in with every other weekend. I understand you had a very big weekend. Carlos, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, we had our 29th annual Ronald H. Brown Leadership Board Gala. It was sold out. It was over 400 people. We had to have an extra table. Just a great event. It was top-notch in inspiration. You know, listen to Charlie and Natasha Batch and Dante Green and just all the folks down on the route. They had very powerful words. I mean, you couldn't find a better group of honorees or humans, right, who really exude positivity or selfless and really make every, you know, space they're in a better space for everyone. And so I just so proud of them, and we exceeded our goal. We raised $475,000, but it was a credible night, and it's a party too, right? And so, and this CEO, I'm not a stiff. I like to get on the dance floor, so we had a great time.
Well, good, and congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, let's dig through the details. We know that President Trump is dismantling the Department of Education. A lot of people are just trying to figure out at the grassroots level, schools, private and public, what that's going to mean. So can you explain how you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. We call it a class dismiss. You know how dismantling the Department of Education hurts us all. So basically, absolutely, President Trump's executive order aims to eliminate the U.S. Department of Education entirely. You know, this isn't just cutting red tape or waste. It's about removing a key institution that ensures educational equity and opportunity. It means stripping away vital resources, protections, and against discrimination and essential funding support, particularly for students from low-income families, students with disabilities, black and brown students, and historically marginalized communities. So really vulnerable students, have a lot of protections through this. And I'm not against, streamlining things, but just blatantly wiping out an institution that is so vital is an issue.
Do you feel, being a person of color who represents people who are in many ways disadvantaged, you feel a lot of these things are a step backwards?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because, I mean, it's not just a racial issue. It's fundamentally about class and privilege, right? Lower and middle income families of all racial backgrounds rely on Department of Education for essential support, like, debt relief, financial aid for higher education, federal funding for local schools. Without these safeguards, millions of hardworking Americans, including, lower and middle class white families in rural and suburban areas, risk losing critical access to affordable, quality education, upward mobility. So, absolutely, it does set us back. And when you think about the Civil Rights Act of 1964, I believe, this entity helps enforce those protections. And right here in Pittsburgh, I'm not going to call out some districts I could, but we've seen firsthand students that are facing racial discriminations and things like that. And so, that organization or department is important for helping to enforce that.
What long-term effect do you think this might have?
Well, this move has far-reaching consequences, Larry. Without a centralized agency to enforce education standards, fund underserved schools and protect student civil rights, we'll likely see widened economic inequality, increased student debt, and less access to higher education, you know, over time, this could weaken America's global competitiveness, you know, limit economic growth and deepen division between the privileged and those lacking opportunity. In short, it undermines the very foundation of our American dream. And you think by 2045, right, America will be black and brown. And so if we don't make sure that those students as well are educated appropriately and prepared for the workforce, we're going to suffer, right? But all students, like I said, rural students, students with disabilities, so it impacts everyone. So again, it's not about blatantly just saying drain the swamp. Yeah, again, I'm for efficiency. You know, when you take over organization or administration, there are always ways to improve. I'm not against that. But let's be smart about it, and let's make sure that we don't hurt our children in America at the end of the day.
Is there anything that common everyday citizens can do to oppose this at this point?
Absolutely. I think it's critical that listeners get involved immediately. You know, contact your congressional representatives by phone, email, or social media. Don't look for them at a town hall because they don't seem to have too many of those. But I urge them to, you know, oppose this harmful executive order. I think also engaging with local and national advocacy organizations, including our National Urban League, who's doing a lot on this front, to, you know, amplify your voice. Remember, this fight isn't just about politics. It's about safeguarding educational opportunity and equality for all of us. You know, your action and voice matter now more than ever. And so stand up and be counted. Stand up for our children. Stand up for America.
And how close, Carlos, do you work with the NAACP here? We understand they're going to be looking for a new president.
I think they found one already. That's what I hear. So we do work with them on some issues. So, like, we've worked with them in terms of, like, when we brought a new police chief. I need a new advocacy and policy officer, but we work with them on select issues, you know, so we definitely work with them. Dalen was there before now. I'm pretty sure they elected someone else. At least that's what I was told. I'm not going to say who it is, but that's what I was told. But, yeah, so how did you hear that? Just, I guess, through local media? Or?
Yeah, I just heard that they were looking for a president. I did not hear if they found one, but obviously, if you say they did, we'll find out.
Yeah, that's what I hear. A little birdie tells me.
All right.
But, yeah, we always look to work with them. We work with them nationally and locally, you know, as it aligns, as our priorities align. And a big part of what we focus on is urban care is really economic opportunity and removing barriers for that. I mean, there are many issues from a social justice perspective, but we can't handle them all. But we collaborate where we can. But really our focus is really economic mobility and opportunity for black and brown people and other underserved communities in the region. That's really a big focus of us, like removing barriers so people can thrive and really embrace the American dream.
Carlos, thank you. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Larry. God bless you. Have a good day.
The president and CEO of Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh, Carlos T. Carter, in the BK Morning Show. Stick around at the top of the hour. We're going to talk to the owner of Isley's. Isley's is making a big splash in the strip district.
Persky and White News Desk. Gerhardt Koenig, a doctor who once worked for UPMC, is accused of attempted murder in Hawaii.
Sources tell me the couple went hiking on the Palipuka Trail for his wife's birthday. They said Koenig asked to take a picture with his wife, but she didn't want to. She told police that Koenig then tried to push her off the trail and repeatedly beat her on the head with a rock.
And Koenig is 46, his wife 36 years old, and again, in critical condition.
Democrat Dan Gaugenauer, Larry, won Tuesday's special election. Now Democrats have a one-seat House majority in Harrisburg.
Could make a big difference in decisions there. And Gaugenauer is a former McKeesport police officer. Spent 16 years on the force, including
morning,
being
Larry,
the head
you?
Of the You're detective a hot topic division. Today.
And just yeah, after the first of the year, Russell Wilson said he wanted to stay in Pittsburgh.
That's the plan. I mean, obviously, I love it here and everything else. And I think we have a great football team. I obviously, it didn't go in the way we wanted it to. And I think there's a lot more to do.
Well, not so much, Larry. Wilson's headed to New York, according to reports.
Well, they did make the playoffs, but they got to win one of those games. And now that really shortens the field. Speculation is Aaron Rodgers is still in the mix since Minnesota
started to shrink.
And The Giants have made their picks.
Yeah, they've moved on. And so the question is now, does Aaron Rodgers already have a deal, and is he just waiting to make a big entrance?
Some are suggesting Pat McAfee, who's the hot show on ESPN, the Plum native who kicked in the NFL, is friends with Aaron Rodgers, and really it was Rodgers' appearance on his podcast that helped fuel Pat McAfee's rise. And so he has a sold-out show coming to PPG Paints in April. There's some suggesting that the announcement will be made.
So,
there.
Tim, when a customer stops by this new Isley's location, what will they find inside?
A modern-day nostalgic Isley store. The front of the store will be classic, a small deli counter with Isley's deli meats and Swiss cheese. The middle of the store will have traditional Isley's ice creams with the old-fashioned candy bars on top. The back of the store will have a luncheonette with the deli with a seating counter for people to order their breakfast, entrees, and barbecue sandwiches. And we will be making ice cream on site. We plan to have two or three ice cream machines working to make the classic flavors, and we will also have an Isley's bar station, aka Klondike bars, hand dipped in front of people coming into the restaurant, and we also will have skyscraper scoops.
Oh, I was going to ask. You got to have the skyscrapers, those tall ice cream cones. Yep. As a child, Jim, that was a treat. Grandpap would give you enough money to get on Isley's, get a skyscraper.
But yes.
The number one question is, Yin's having chipped ham.
We will definitely have chipped ham in that. We will have chipped. You can't open an Isley's without chipped ham. You can't open up an Isley's without skyscrapers or Klondike bars, a.k.a. Isley's bars, and not have it be authentic. So the goal is to be as true to the name, as true to the stores that as they were back in the 50s and 60s and 70s. It took us a while to figure out the location, and the strip district was perfect for us.
Absolutely perfect. Jim, you know, you used a word a moment ago that I happen to really like to hear, the word luncheonette. Now, I did not grow up in Pittsburgh. But I grew up in a town with, you know, like several. The Woolworths was one example. And just to hear that this might be the only luncheonette functioning in this part of the state when you open.
It could be. I didn't really, when we were doing our homework on it, they weren't really diners. They were considered more luncheonette. Diners have full, you know, meatloaf and liver and onions. We're not going to be that kind of restaurant. We're going to be more of a luncheonette that's serving sandwiches. We're going to have every form of an Isley sandwich possible. You know, if you go on our Facebook page, we have 25,000 followers, and every time we post a sandwich with on Mancini's or straight up barbecue, you know, we get thousands of hits. We're going to offer every variety of a classic Isley's chip chopped ham sandwich there is.
You're making me hungry, Jim.
Me too.
But we're going to have...
When this all comes down, we'll make sure to get you some samples out there.
We're going to have a chance to come visit you. Now, this is planned to open next year on Penn Avenue. Give us an idea where.
It's actually right across from Luke Woolley's. We'll give them a plug. It's literally right across the street from Luke Woolley's. It's right in the heart of the Strip. You know, the Strip District is the number one tourist attraction, I've been told. For Pittsburgh, it has 50,000 permanent residents and growing. It's a place to be at this point.
Well, congratulations. We're excited for you and your wife to open a brand new but vintage Isley's in the Strip. That's cool, Jim. Stay in touch.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Larry. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, Larry... I can't think of the number of people who are listening to this right now who are fired up about taking their grandchildren to a real Isley's so they can take a trip back in time to some. There are certain things about Pittsburgh's history that are beloved, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, like the amusement parks and things like that. This is Forbes Field is another one. Isley's is part of the culture. It's just interwoven. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard, you know, have you had a chip chopped ham sandwich yet?
Well, you talked about taking grandkids. How about Aaron and Ellen? They haven't been to an Isley's ever, so we're
right.
going to go. We're
exactly.
going to go.
Yeah.
We're going to go, Aaron.
Well, and I just got several calls, two calls that reminded me what Isley stood for back in the day. Did you guys talk about that?
No, go ahead.
I shall always love you, sweetheart.
Wow.
That's cool.
Two callers called in and said that.
Marty Griffin wants to work there. He said, how about you and I get jobs there?
What a sweetie. And, you know, it was a couple of years that I'd been here until I realized that Isley's invented the Klondike Bar.
Yes. And chipped ham.
Yep.
And they used to be, the guy that started Eaton Park, Larry Hatch, and the guy who owned Isley's at the time were good friends. And look, they both, you know, flourished for a long period of time. So,
well, this is exciting, and I wish them all the luck.
Isley's opportunity to check out our live stream. You can see what's going on inside the studio, but also many of our guests are on our vMix. Go to kdkradio.com and click on the live stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Challenges with finance. There's probably not a person listening that doesn't know that feeling in one way or another. And more than a third of Americans have had to dip into their emergency savings over the past year. And many people do not have emergency savings. New survey from Bankrite.com.
The numbers that really jumped out at us were the 38% that used it from regular monthly bills, like rent or utilities, the 32% that did so for day-to-day expenses. Those two really illustrate how tight household budgets are.
That's the voice of Greg McBride, Bankrate's chief financial analyst. Just piecing the weeks together, paycheck to paycheck.
You know, Larry, what's the problem for so many people, and several friends have shared this with me in the last 18 months, 2 years in fact, is that the cost of fixing a problem is way up. Car repairs cost far more than they did. A recent article I looked at said that automobile, truck repairs, SUV repairs up over 30% in 18 months because of supply issues and demand being higher. And plus, cars are more advanced now, and the newer ones cost more to fix because of all the sensors and having to recalibrate them. That's just one example. So if you have an accident, and let's say that you've raised your deductible up to $1,000, like so many people do, then you've got a $1,000 wipeout right there. Or what if you have a repair that isn't covered by insurance, or a medical bill that pops up, and you have your deductible, and then you have your coinsurance, and that winds up being several thousand dollars.
A friend had told me that he had an issue with his cat, ended up taking it to the emergency veterinarian hospital, and wound up with a $5,000 bill.
Yep. I was going through the filing cabinet at home not too long ago. After the first of the year, I was working on my taxes, and I ran across all of the vet bills that I racked up with Ginger, and especially in the last few months that she was with me. An astounding amount of money that was spent there. And I don't regret spending any of it, but now I know why. It's so easier to budget right now in this last year because I don't have that expense of a pet, and they're not cheap.
And add a spouse, two, three children,
yep,
a pet.
Emergency trips to the doctor with the kids because they're sick.
And it's easy to escalate. And
it's,
I know,
it's no wonder people don't have emergency savings. Some don't.
And Aaron, who just recently got a new home, her first home with her husband, Benny.
Yes.
You have, you know, costs coming at you that you didn't necessarily anticipate, I'm guessing.
Yes. Benny's a big saver. So we'll just say that now that we bought our first house, it's definitely, we're thinking about being prepared for anything that could come up.
So you're saying your husband's cheap?
No.
No, I'm kidding.
How do you get from being a saver to being cheap?
I know. You know what? Him and Vinny are kind of besties, so he feels comfortable teasing him.
Yeah, I do. I mean, but, you know, that's smart. They're so, if you take the time, I had someone, it's the power of when you exponentially, well, you take, okay, we're at the counter, impulse buying. Used to buy, maybe there's a magazine. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's $4.99.
Even gum.
Yeah, so, wow.
Okay, so you get a magazine for $4.99. Now, if you did that once a week, it's $20 a month, right? Yes, you say, well, that magazine didn't cost much. But so $20 a month, and you can easily do the math. So let's just say 10 months to make it simple, right? That's $200. So you spent $200, and then take that over a decade, that's $2,000. That's for one little purchase.
Yeah, and that's nothing compared to what some people will spend at coffee shops.
The big extrapolation. Right. So if you buy, let's just say, a Starbucks tall, which is the small.
Yep.
It's like $2.45, right?
Yep.
And then you're compelled to give a tip because you don't want to stand there and be, you know.
Right. You want to.
Yeah. You know,
thank you.
You don't want to be that guy, right? Mm-hmm. So then it's okay. All I have is a $1 bill. I throw a dollar in. So now you're at $3.45.
Yep.
So and some people do that a day.
So that's almost seven in 2 days. That's 14 and another seven, $21 a week.
All right. I made it 24, but you skipped a day, and that's okay.
Oh, okay.
So let's take that a week and times, we'll just say 50 weeks. We'll give you a break for vacation. That's $1,200 just for your cup of coffee. And your magazine was another, you know, you extrapolate.
One way to look at it, too, by the way,
and
Larry,
that's per year.
Is how much is $1,200 in terms of one of your paychecks, your net pay? Look at it that way.
And if you take that, what you spent on a coffee, you ready? For 10 years.
I'm ready.
$12,000.
And that doesn't include compound interest.
That's just the coffee. So it's the little things that add up over time. And in between, Marty Griffin, 10 until 2. We'll check in with Marty in a few minutes. But first, every Wednesday at this time, we're joined by Marty's wife, KDK-TV anchor woman, Christine Sorensen. How are you this morning,
great.
Christine?
Great. How are you? You're just back from Florida.
Yeah, I was just telling you about, I saw the Moody Blues, and I thought, well, I was familiar with their music. Wasn't necessarily a huge Moody Blues fan, but the show exceeded my expectations, and it's really fun when it's a pleasant surprise. And I'm sure you've been to shows where you're like, you're going, and it's cool, but then it's like, oh, wow. This is really good.
Absolutely. You know what? It's hard to go to a show with a live band with good musicians and not come out feeling jazzed. You know, there's something about the energy of a band when they're really playing well, whether you know the music or not.
Plus, they had a big video screen, and the way they did it was almost like you were watching a soundtrack to music. Ooh. That was part of your life.
Oh, that's cool.
And world-class musicians doing
with
the original member, John Lodge. Anyway.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, let's talk about Kidsburg. What's going on?
Well, so this week is Phone Free Advocacy Schools Week. And the National Education Association, the American Teachers Federation, both these groups, among 75 child experts and groups, are calling on and endorsing this week phone-free school policies. And it's kind of just starting to, you know, sprinkle into different public schools. A lot of private schools and parochial schools have been doing it for a while. But now 8 states are banning phones in schools, as well as some countries like Great Britain and France. And it's starting to get talked about more, and this week their goal is to really let people know schools are doing it, there are policies to do it. If you go to my website, kidsburg.org, you'll see we have a link to the Phone Free Schools movement where people can get a toolkit if they want to either start it at their school or advocate for it at their school. But if you have high schoolers, you know it's an issue whether you're for or against. It's something that is now a big part of school and needs to be talked about.
100%. I agree with that. In fact, so many young people just assume it's an appendage that even when they go to a new workforce job out of school, they expect to be able to have their phone with them. And there are some businesses, it's like, hey, you can't have 24 access. You know, you remember a job when you had out of school, you didn't have access to the phones, obviously, but you weren't allowed to make phone calls either.
Right, right. And that's such an interesting point. I hadn't really thought of it that way about, you know, this in high school can and probably should be a learning environment to prepare them for the future, right? Whether it's college or a job, and learning to be able to be without the phone, without being able to reach everyone at every moment or check your, you know, Snapchat or your Instagram or whatever it may be, it's something kids are going to need to learn to do.
Yeah, I personally believe there should be times where they don't have access to the phone to focus on whatever it is they're trying to learn.
Well, and that's why these teachers groups are coming out and saying, look, you know, we need to be able to teach. And they've studies have shown that kids are getting an average of 237 or more notifications on their phone a day. The median amount of time on their phones is 43 minutes. And that just by having the phone there, it's distracting.
Right.
You know, even having someone else's phone there is distracting for kids learning. So it's something people are talking about. It's something I personally feel strongly about. And so I hope that people can learn more at kidsburg.org.
Before we move on, just a sidebar to that, I noticed I forgot my phone recently for a bit, and I let it go for about an hour, and you feel almost like, and then if you put your phone away, say you have company at the house, you put your phone away, put it in a drawer, and then you come back to it. People are like, why won't you answer me? I've been trying to text you all day.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. And I'm thinking, no, there should be blackout times for family.
Well, and there are, you know, it's an adjustment when phones, when schools go phone free. For example, I went to Stow Rocks High School where they went phone free a couple years ago. They take the phones in the morning, they give them back in the afternoon. It's an adjustment, no question about it, but it's possible and it's working really well in the schools that have done it. I've talked to the principals. They say it's like a cultural shift. The teachers are happy. The kids actually like talking to each other at lunch and in the hallways. And they said it's absolutely the best thing that they did.
Well, definitely something to explore. Meanwhile, this weekend is a really cool opportunity if you have any kind of sports equipment at home.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's got kids who play sports, this is such a great chance at Dick's Sporting Goods at the Ross Park Mall Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and go to kidsburg.org. You'll see the details on exactly what times. But they are taking gear and old like sporting equipment gear and swapping it for a Dick's Sporting Goods gift card. And this does have to be in good working condition, bought in the last 5 years, and original retail value of more than $100. So the bigger stuff. But it can be any sport. It could be skiing, fishing, softball, baseball, lacrosse, hockey, you name it. Check out kidsburg.org. We've got a list of exactly what you can and can't bring.
Boy, that is a really good opportunity. All right, now I'm looking 76 for a high Saturday. We've had this four-season month in 3 weeks of March, and people are thinking ahead to summer camps.
Yeah, and you know, I think people often think little kids when they think summer camps, but I've got teenagers, so I've been really thinking about what are my teenagers going to do in the summer, especially, you know, if they're not working or if they're not working the whole time. And how can you use summer to maybe introduce them to something they don't know or that's new or they don't have time to do in the school year? And so there's all kinds of cool camps. We have a list on kidsburg.org. We have a massive list, but we've kind of aggregated it down to 18 different camps that are really geared toward older kids and teens. For example, I just signed up Vince this weekend, or on Monday, I should say, I signed him up for a camp that is free, that's all about cybersecurity at Pitt. If you're interested in that, get on soon because it fills up. But it's a really interesting opportunity for kids who are techie and want to learn about that. Vince is also doing the Thai Entrepreneur Program for young entrepreneurs. Most of it is online where they learn how to be an entrepreneur and then they come up with their own idea. And in the end, there's a whole pitch like a Shark Tank. But there's also a range of things for, you know, opera, musical theater, If you're interested in podcasting and radio, they've got the SLB radio program. My daughter once did a program at Point Park University in dance intensive. So check out our guide. I'm sure you'll find something interesting for your kids this summer.
Kidsburg.org. Christine Sorensen. Look for her on KDKA TV. And Marty, you'll be coming in. You sticking around
yes,
with Marty?
I am.
From the Goldberg, Persky & White news desk, Gerhard Koenig. He's a doctor who once worked for UPMC, now accused of attempted murder in Hawaii.
Sources tell me the couple went hiking on the Palipuka Trail for his wife's birthday. They said Koenig asked to take a picture with his wife, but she didn't want to. She told police that Koenig then tried to push her off the trail and repeatedly beat her on the head with a rock.
He left Pittsburgh 2 years ago in March of 2023 to work in Hawaii.
Now, Russell Wilson said after the first of the year that he wanted to stay in Pittsburgh.
That's the plan. I mean, obviously, I love it here and everything else. And I think we have a great football team. Obviously, it didn't go in the way we wanted it to. And I think there's a lot more to do. And
well, they'll have to do it without him because he's going to New York, according to the reports.
And Minnesota has their guy. Now the Giants have their guy, which means Aaron Rodgers, if he's going to play this year in the NFL, it's going to be with the Steelers, and we don't know yet for sure. But
yeah, more than likely. Hey, and a fellow by the name of Jim Conroy is going to bring a brand new thing to the Strip District that's really a great old thing. Isley's, a whole store.
And what's old is new, right down on Penn Avenue in the Strip, cross from Woolies. It'll open in 2026.
How long has it been since someone could get a skyscraper cone in this town?